I'm looking at the water. I want to get at least my feet wet, and I'm going to enjoy this podcast cruise 2017, and I can't wait for the second part of the conference. If you're listening and you missed out on this, I encourage you to come to the 2018. Do not miss the 2018. You will be amongst the top podcasters in the United States.
This is Jared Easley. This is Starve the Doubts podcast. I'm hanging out with Felix Montalera. Felix has a nickname, and it's the Sheepdog.
The Sheepdog.
Welcome, Sheepdog.
Thank you. Thank you, Jared. It's my pleasure to be here. You know this is awesome where we're at. You know that, right?
Oh, my goodness. All right, so tell people where we're at.
We are at Yaya Beach in, what town is this?
This is Costa Maya.
Costa Maya, Mexico. And we're under this tiki, I guess, what do you call this? A tiki...
Tiki picnic table?
Picnic table umbrella. But it's very cool. The water is beautiful. Let me describe this because this is so awesome. You have this reef out there just blocking some of the bad part of the water. And it's beautiful. It's just light blue with dark blue. And you can see the bottom for about 400 yards. So you're looking at the bottom of the ocean in clear water. So, I mean, this is just amazing, Jerry.
It's a beautiful spot, that's for sure. And Felix, of course, you're an international travel. You're an international man of mystery. Why are you in Mexico?
Well, we are at the Podcast Cruise 2017. And I've been doing a little bit of my own filming and all that good stuff.
Yes, you have.
And I've been telling people that if you miss 2017, because we're here really enjoying this.
This is a great time.
And you should come to 2018. 2018 is already posted on the website.
Coming soon.
Coming soon, right? It says coming soon on it?
Coming soon, yeah.
So, you know, just plan for it. This is an awesome vacation, and you get a conference to tag along with it, which will kind of make it tax-friendly.
Yes.
If you know what you're doing.
True.
Because you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, you do.
But it really can become a tax-friendly vacation, and you can bring your entire family. That's the nice part about this. You know, you don't have to come by yourself on a cruise. In my case, this year I brought my son.
Yes.
And we're having a lot of fun together. He just turned 34 on the cruise, which is pretty awesome.
Yes.
You know.
Happy birthday.
Yes. And so this is one of those opportunities that if you have the time and you really feel like you want to be with the best podcasters in America, this is the place to be. You will only meet with the top podcasters here.
I'm having a blast. I know you are too. Felix, this has been an interesting year for you in podcasting and in life. So let's just talk about some of the things that have happened in 2016 and, you know, some things you have to look forward to.
Well, 2016, my podcast, Potencial Millonario, and I do have an English version of it called DTHE, DPotentialMillionaire.com.
Yes.
You can go there and you'll find everything to do with Potencial Millonario. It is bilingual. It is two language, or what I like to call multi-language. They're not mixed. So some pages are in English and some pages are in Spanish for the blog, which is actually part of the podcast. Everything that I do there, I place it with the audio so you can have all that good stuff. So that's really it. I started this year a new project. Actually, I started in 2016 a new project, and I just launched it last Monday before we came on the Podcast Cruise 2017.
All right, so Felix, one of my favorite stories of yours, and you have a lot, but one of them is the Moon Rock story. So let's hear the Moon Rock story.
Well, I used to work for NASA, and I was a special agent for the Office of Inspector General for NASA. And all we do there is fraud, waste, and abuse. And in this fraud, waste, and abuse, I had the opportunity on a Friday to go to Connecticut and pick up a moon specimen. And the way it worked out was that they call me at Friday, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they say, Felix, you need to go to LaGuardia Airport in New York. And I said, okay, what am I going to do when I get there? And they said, don't worry. Once you land there, we'll let you know what you're doing. So I get there, and then they say, well, Felix, you might have to rent a vehicle and go up to Connecticut. I'm like, Connecticut? What for? And they go to Christie Auction House and pick up an item. I'm like, okay. So I drive to Christie's auction house. And back then, we didn't have GPS, like on the phones and all that good stuff. So you actually have a map and you're land navigating your way, you know, through places you've never been before. Well, I get to Christie, and little do I know is that the person in charge of Christie actually had called the New York, Connecticut, the Tri-Metro Press. So I get there and they're like, Mr. Montalera, how do you know this is a moon rock? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm just a special agent and there is no way I can answer a question like that. I am not an engineer. I am not a scientist. So
do you deflect or do you actually?
You just deflect and you say, I can make no comment at this moment. So I go to pick this thing up and it turns out that it was one of these pen set they used to give back out in the 60s and the 70s where you can have your business cards, a little pen on it, and this little blob that had Moonflex in it. So I picked it up as a special agent. I took it in as evidence. And the big ordeal with this was that I took it with me. I brought it back to Maryland, to Goddard Space Flight Center. And later, the owner actually sued us because she gave it to the auctioneer, not to us. He gave it to us without her permission. So her content was that we did an illegal seizure of her property. She didn't win her lawsuit and all that. And then I if you want to know the rest of the story, just go on the internet and find out moon specs found from Grammy that wanted to, you know, pay for her child, grandchild school tuition.
Felix, when are we going to see the movie about your life? That's what I want to know.
No, there is no movie. But I am actually working on a fiction book with one of my podcasters from my network, from Audio Dice Network. And he is from El Salvador. He lives in El Paso, Texas, where he actually works as a journalist. And he's married to a Mexican. And he actually, every weekend, he spends his weekends out in Mexico. So he's during the week. Isn't this great? A Salvadorian living in the U.S. and living part-time weekends in Mexico. And we are actually writing a fiction book about the stories that I've lived.
Based on these?
Yeah, nice. based on these stories. So we will have about 10 stories in there, and the character. We've got a name for the character and all that good stuff. And since it is fiction, this guy has superpowers. He dodges bullets, and he doesn't realize at the end of, I don't want to give away the ending, but he doesn't, at the end of the day, when he becomes 54 years old and something happens in his life, he figures out that he's not a superhero.
I know this question is going to seem bizarre, but I am curious. Does he wear makeup for men?
Oh, makeup for men. Listen, last year I came to a podcast cruise 2016, and I had just started a company for makeup for men. It actually is called Undercover Makeup. You can go to undercovermakeup.com. And for the entire week that I was here, Independence at the Sea and all the ports, I actually used the product. And I did this because I wanted to test them. I want to see what results you get, not from looking better, because at my age, it's a little bit hard, you know. Just I have face for radio, you know, which is perfect, you know. But I did it, and it was kind of rough, because one thing I did learn, I learned a few things about wearing makeup for men. One, do not sleep with makeup on, okay?
Good tip.
And two, you know, around 5:30, go back to your stateroom and freshen up the makeup.
Reapply,
yes. So I did learn a little bit, you know, and I needed to do that. It was kind of weird. Some people were looking at me like, what is this guy doing? But it was just a test, what I call a beta test on the makeup. And it's awesome makeup. It's the same type of makeup that you would find. It's actually made in the U.S. and it's all bottled in the U.S. and it's all branded in the U.S. and it's makeup for men. Can women use it? Of course they can. It's made by the same people who make Bare Minerals. So it's really good quality. It's high quality. We wanted good quality because we wanted it to be like your president out in the United States would say, you know, we wanted this to be huge.
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 So how's it going? Are you through the testing? Did you decide to go with the company? Or?
Oh, yeah. We launched last year and it's been going really good. We've had some sales. It's really amazing the amount of men that actually apply some type of makeup, especially if they're going out at night or they're going to be on stage. As I understand, Elvis Presley would not leave his house without makeup. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, artists use it all the time. Regular folks don't use it that much. But, you know, we spend a lot of money on our shoes and our clothing and all that. And then we go out and our face looks like crap. And what do we put first forward is our face, right? So, yeah, go by undercovermakeup.com. Thank you for the plug. I like that.
Well, I didn't expect some of that detail, but yeah. And as Elvis would say, I'm all shook up after that. Hey, let's get serious for a moment.
Okay.
Another favorite story of mine, or viewers, I'm sorry, that I like, is the story of you and your wife adopting your daughter.
Oh, Anya,
and,
yes.
You know, a lot of people don't know all the many layers of Felix Montalera, but this is a story that touched me personally, impacted me, and I just wondered if you'd be willing to talk about that.
Oh, yes, yes. Anya is a 9-year-old Russian. She was born in Russia, and she was from a part called Karelia. If you look it up in the map, it's northern Russia, south of Siberia. And we got the opportunity to meet her upstate New York, in Albany, New York. She was having problems getting adopted by the families over there, and we were living in the state of Alabama. So we went from Alabama up to New York just to do a meet and greet with this young lady. She was a young girl. She was only 2 years old at the time. She was a special need child, and that was part of the issue. Because of her special needs, some of the families could not afford the ongoing treatment and stuff that would go along with her. So we went to Russia. And being in a place where you're doing a self-adoption, you have to go to court by yourself, you have to get an interpreter, you have to get lawyers, and you have to even do all the medical procedures in their facilities over there. So they would not accept any of the U.S. medical documentation when it comes saying, hey, you're fit, all this good stuff. So we did that. We actually ended up renting a jet 3 times from Finland to Russia just to get up there, you know, at the time, because we didn't want to miss the court days. We came back in a train, and that was an awesome, the train experience was awesome. It was like looking at a 1940s movie, and you're in it. You know, you're in this movie. And if it was not because you're looking at the folks standing around with their cell phones and all that, you know, you kind of lose perspective of time. It's like, this is like 1930s, 1940 eras, but it was beautiful. You know, it was one of these experiences that you would never forget. So we finally get Anya here, and then we traveled the nation, the U.S., trying to find a specialist or a hospital, children's hospital or somewhere where they can help her with her disability. Well, there was no way the technology does not exist to be able to help her in that way that she needed. So we ended up amputating her 2 lower limbs. And today she has prosthetics. She's 9 years old. She's fully active. She's happy as can be, you know, and she's one of these awesome kids.
That's amazing.
And I need to mention my kid, Nick, because Nick is, you know, he's the older one, and he's my kid with Jamie, my wife, and he's an awesome kid, and he's actually helped us out a lot with her. So
how old is Nick?
Nick is 11 right now.
Oh, wow. So they're not too far apart.
No, it worked out perfect. You know, in a way, she even kind of have features that look like my wife. So everybody thinks that, you know, she's a natural kid from my wife. So it all worked out really good. And, you know, I'm very proud of my wife and Nick, because they're the ones that really wanted this more than I did. Because I was a little bit, not against it, but I was a little bit leery about it, because I had never traveled to a place like Russia. And my fear was that I get arrested out there and I live in one of these jails for 2 or 3 months, and that probably would be good. But knowing myself, I would just cry every day in there.
Does Anya remember that train ride at all?
I don't think so. And she actually, she spoke Russian, and now she's actually forgotten her language. She speaks English, you know, English only, and a little bit of Spanish, you know, so that's about it.
Can you fathom what her life would be like if you weren't able to adopt her? I mean,
yeah, I can tell you what I was told.
Yeah.
And being in Russia and speaking to the folks over there, there were two things going on. They were first wondering why we wanted a child with disability. That was like the number one question that they had. And I think over there, the mentality is that these kids won't be good for society. And she was in a foster home and in a setting, more like a school with other kids with Down syndrome and other disabilities and all that good stuff. And as I understand it, I was told that when they hit adulthood at 18, they actually just say bye-bye. So they've been in this facility all their life. You know, they have a disability, and they just tell them, you're done. Now you got to find a life. So if she would not get the procedure that she did, she would not be able to walk or anything like that. And today, you know, she is walking, and she's enjoying life like any other child in America.
How did you initially find out about Anya when she had made her way over here to the States for a little bit? Were you in touch with an organization and were looking for a specific situation like that?
Well, my sister-in-law, she has adopted 3 children, and one from Russia, one from China, and one from Colombia. So there's an organization by the name of VIDA, V-I-D-A, in New York that they handle this type of scenario. So we knew through the sister-in-law and VIDA about Anya. So that's how we found out. And, you know, it was like godsend. So
from the time that you first met Anya in New York to the time that you actually brought her home, what time length was that?
We're talking about anywhere from 6 to 9 months. And I say that because we had to go over the 3 times. And we actually, there was a point where we had to have an extended stay. So we had to stay like 14 days in a row in Russia. Why? It was just part of the requirements. And we had to go from Karelia to Moscow to do the paperwork for her, you know, to get everything done. Because even though Karelia, it's they call it an independent state, just like Puerto Rico, you know, a commonwealth. It's that type of situation where they have their court system and all that, but then everything has to get vetted through Moscow.
I love that story. I think that, you know, and you could have potentially saved her life. It sounds like that's what happened.
Well, I think she saved our lives. You know, she is awesome. And it's just one of these things where I think both parties benefit in this, because you see the world in a different way. And when you do something like this, it's number one, it's not easy. I can tell you, I wasn't pro adoption, to be honest. And now I tell people, you know, it's better to adopt than to have an abortion. You know, we went on a rampage after that, and we helped out to get a clinic, a rolling clinic, where they have the sonograms and all that. So people who are going to abortion clinics will try to get them in this rolling clinic before, so they can hear and see the baby and decide not to do the abortion. You know, and that was one of those where this whole operation cost $150,000 just to start it off. And then to keep it rolling. So every year, you know, we participate of these auction stuff, and we'll actually spend money. Like right now, I have somewhere in Anaheim, up north Anaheim, I have a place where I can stay because we bought something there. But, you know, most of the times we don't take advantage of the deals that we get. We just want to make sure that kids either adopted, you know, or have a family versus having an abortion.
So, I mean, Felix, I could talk to you for an hour or longer about this stuff. I'm going to start to wrap it up, but let's talk about Audio Dice real quick. What's going on with that?
Well, Audio Dice, I started the preparation for Audio Dice about 6 months ago, and I researched a lot of these networks that exist today, and none of them have a multi-language platform. And in the U.S., most of our Spanish speakers are bilingual. Most of our Spanish speakers that live in the U.S. or even live around the world actually speak 2 languages. And I decided, well, there's a need for this. And I put it in beta just to see if I would get any reaction or anything from it. And the reception was really good. I had podcasters wanting to join the network. And there were a few that I really had to say no to. And it was because of the quality of the podcast, of the audio and all that good stuff. I wanted to have a network where it would be the gateway for Spanish speakers to get into podcasting. And I say this because in the Latino world, there are podcasting. Spain is very advanced. They have something called the J-Pod Awards. They had 600 people show up to Malaga this summer to a conference over there, which actually they were actually looking for somebody from Podcast Movement to participate, because this year they had for the first time what they called an international room or conference, you know, with that. And if a lot of the folks that I speak to that do not know about podcasting in the Latino world have just never listened to a podcast, but the fear is they don't know how to get to it. So through Audio Dice, I'm creating that portal where you can just go to a webpage, you know, audiodice.net, you go there and you'll encounter 10 great podcasts in English and Spanish. 5 of them are Spanish, 5 of them are English. But there are Latinos making English podcasts for the Latino community, you know? And a lot of our Latino community know a lot about Podcast Movement. They know about the people, you know, who run Podcast Movement. They know a lot. They would love to come, but they have to. It's like for them, that would be like a vacation also, because I've talked to them and they have to plan it out. But eventually they will be showing up at Podcast Movement, and they emulate what you guys do in Podcast Movement, which is really cool because the J-Pods are very popular. But Spain has this thing where Spain does it on their own. So it was great to see them do the international forum this year. So Argentina is big in podcasting. And then Honduras, Mexico is big. Mexico has a ton of podcasters. They love Spreaker. Mexico loves Spreaker. This is not a Spreaker commercial here, but Mexico does like Spreaker. They do, the Mexican podcasters like doing the live broadcasting. They do a lot of that. And Spreaker provides them a platform for that. If they're doing regular podcasting like we do, they'll choose Libsyn or Podbean. You know, those are the two that they will choose. Podbean mainly because Podbean, you can go with a really low cost. You can go with unlimited video and audio there. So it adds to it with the video part. So those are the ones that they really use a lot. They know about Blueberry. We have in Spanish, we have a few networks like Revolver. And Revolver was made by two former Univision, U.S. Univision executives. And they have, I think they have close to 100 podcasts, if not more. And they have a lot of good quality people there. But they're pulling shows from radio. They're pulling shows from TV. And they may have one or two that are true podcasters. And that's fine. I just want, in Audio Dice Network, we're working with independent podcasters. These are real people making real podcasts and high-quality podcasts. So you get a lot of good information. If you've never heard of a podcast, you know, what is a podcast? Go to audiodice.net. You can click on it, listen to a few of them. And then from there, that's your portal to iTunes and Google Play and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you for spreading the good podcast name to all of our Spanish-speaking countries and brethren out there. I was listening to your story a little bit last night over dinner and just really appreciate all the work that you're doing. So thank you for all that hard work.
Well,
I know it must be
you.
Tough to put in all of that work to get a whole marketing arm and consulting as well. You're helping people get off the ground and showing them how to do it from all angles. So
yeah, and that's correct. One of the things with all this is that we're trying to teach people how to start their own podcast. And we will make it easy, like low barrier entry for you. So that's the one thing. We want to make sure when we tell people, look, we will do it for you. We'll edit it. All you have to do is, you know, turn on a mic and we'll teach you how to do that, how to do it correctly. And we will do all the editing, all the promotion, all the uploading, you know, the iTunes stuff, your RSS feed. We will do everything for you. All you have to do is have something to talk about. If you have a message to put out to the world, if you have a product, if you have a service, this is your opportunity. Podcasting is the way to go. You become an expert in your field, and you cannot beat that. You know, we have one of our podcasters who's a psychologist, and he is doing really, in the Dominican Republic, he is doing really, really awesome. He's been podcasting for about 18 months with over 2 million downloads. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And now he started his own membership site, and he's putting up his programs and all that good stuff. And he is actually making some money in that way. So this is not a proposition where if you just want to give back, you can do that. That's what I did with Potencial Millonario. It was a give back play for the, you know, how great God's been to me. But the bottom line is you can actually monetize this if you really wanted to.
Wow. Keep it up, man. We're going to say we knew you when.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much.
We knew you quando.
Quando.
Cuando, cuando, cuando.
Señoras y señores, aquí estoy con Jared hablando en la playa,
sí.
Costa Maya.
So where can people connect with you online?
You can go to thepotentialmillionaire.com or potencialmillonario.com. Audio Dice is Audio Dice or audiodice.net, which is Audio Dice, like the dice that you play with. So audiodice.net.
Okay. And Chris is dying to know what your final thoughts are.
Well, my final thoughts are very simple. I'm looking at the water. I want to get at least my feet wet. And I'm going to enjoy this podcast cruise 2017. And I can't wait for the second part of the conference. The first part of the conference was pretty awesome. Yeah. If you're listening and you missed out on this, I encourage you to come to the 2018. Is soon to come on the website there, but you can just look it up at podcastmovement.com. Is that correct?
Podcastcruise.com.
Podcastcruise.com. Do not miss the 2018. You will be amongst the top podcasters in the United States. And when I mean top, I am talking about some awesome people that all they want to do is share information that you're not going to get anywhere else.
I'll echo that. And I'll also say that the water temperature is perfect. So let's go dive in.
Take care, guys.